Okay, so we are on the Ayin Tes Amud Aleph at the two dots, about 5-6 lines down, are Kedei Lasi. So we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that the shear of Hitzah of R is Kedei Lasi Kamea. And we said it's not referring to the writing of a Kamea, but rather it's referring to wrapping a Kamea. So, says the Gemara like this. So even though this is actually explicit in the Mishnah, nevertheless, he's asking this Shaila to lead into several more Shailas. So, Rav asks Rav Nachman, Hamitzi Ar Bekama, what's the Shir of Hitzos Ar? Amalek it is not. Ar Kadei Lasis Kameh, that's Mefurish. Hamabdoi Bekama, what is the Shir Legabi Ibud, if one is Ma'abid, so you convert something from just a raw hide into processed leather and you tan it and so on. So Hamabdoi Bekama, Amalek Leishna. He said it is the same thing. And it's also going to be the shear of a kameya's worth to be.
I'm sorry. Can you tell me where did you start today?
We started from the two dots and Ayin Tes Amud Aleph about 7 or 8 lines down.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so again, by many Rav Nachman, Amitzi Arba Kama, Amalek it is not Argadi Lasis Kameh, Amabdi Bekama. The second Charlie asked was if you're Ma'abedit, what's the shear? Amalek Leishna. Le'avde bekama. What about if you take R and it's not yet ma'ubad, and the intention is to be ma'abedit, but it's not yet ma'ubad? What is the shear of such R? Amalei leishna. So he said also leishna. How do you know that we don't make such a chilik? Let's just see the one Rashi over here. Let's just see the two Rashis. Rashi says, "Hamitzi arba kama mishum de boy le mi boy mine hanach boy achronaisa," because he wants to ask these other shailas. Boy mine ha, I forget the masnisni. So that was mefurish. So question one number is if you hamitzi ar, what's the shear? Like it says in the Mishnah. Question number two is, if you are ma'abedit, what is the shear of ibut? And that we said, leishna. Then we said, la'abdoi bekava, which he said, leishna. Rashi says, la'abed or ha'oimed la'abdoi. So if you have a hide which is oimed for ibut, va'adayin li'abdoi bekava shear ha'itza. So what is the shear of its ha'itza, la'abdoi bekava? Amalei, leishna. So once again, he said, there is no difference. To which Rava said, Umina Temra. So how do we know that there's no difference between something which is already Mu'ubud and something which is not yet Mu'ubud? Umina Temra. Kidisnan, Hamalabin, Vahamanapids, Vahatseveya, Vahateva. So if a person is malavin, so to launder or to manapit, we said to like to comb and untangle, to be tiver, to dye, to turn, tiver is to spin into thread. And we said that this is the shear between the etzba and the ama is called the shear of a sit, and double the amount is considered to be a sit kafel. So once you're malabin or manapit tzitzeveya or teva, a shear of leisit kafur, so then you're chayiv ha'oreg bezchutin. Whereas if you weave two strings, shear kamalay rechav hasit. Alma, so what's the raya? What are we bringing a raya to? Kevin de la tzviya koi shiura katovi. Achanami kevin de la abde koi shiura kumubud. So to over here, if you take out, albeit unfinished, unprocessed hide, and you're doing it for the sake of being ma'abed it, so it already takes on the same shear as R, which is ma'ubad, being that is your intention. So he said, therefore it's going to be the same shear. Yeah, if you look at Rashi, about 6-7 lines before the lines get wide, Alma, Rashi says, given the menape to malabein letzvia koi, being that when you are combing and you're whitening, you're ultimately doing it for the sake of spinning it into thread, koi shiure ketavi. So we already now give it the same shear as the end product, the final product. The final product you're looking is to spin it into thread. So for these other malachas, we also give it for the same shear, for the finished product, to spin it into thread. And therefore the same thing would be true if you have unfinished hide, and the plan is to take it and to be ma'abed it, we would say the same thing. Now, says the Rav, a fourth shayla. What about if you take out unfinished, unprocessed hides, and you have no intention necessarily of tanning it, of turning it into a proper cloth of sorts? So here you could already hear that this is not as chashuv, and therefore perhaps it requires a larger amount in order to make a hoitzah. So this was really kind of the question which Rava was leading up to, and this is going to be what the rest of the sugya is going to discuss. So ishalil abdoi bekamar leishna. So the kids, every single time Rav Nachman said it's always going to be the same shear leishna. So correct Rava leishani bein meubad leishena meubad. Is that true that there's no difference in the shear haitzah between that which is ma'ubad and that which is not ma'ubad? Eizvei, I'll ask you a kasha. Hamaitzi samanim shruyin. If a person takes out samanim, so you're taking out, let's say, chunks of tzeva, of different types of dye, and so on. If they are ones which are already shruyin, they're already soaked in mayim, and therefore they're already roy to be matzbiya with. You can already kind of start to paint with these things because it's already been soaked. So then we'll say the shear is kidei litzbaya behen dugma le'ira. So it's the amount which you could use to dye and paint little, I guess, swatches of tzemer, which you would show to prospective clients. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says dugma kolemer ma'at, a little bit, like a little sample. Ke'en shemaren ledugma lemer reitzat bezeh. So you would present your customers, your clients, with little swatches of colored cloth. Le'irav hu kashir atzorach le'irish shel gardi listen piakanesh apakoyis erev nisunabai. Whatever, it's a small little swatch. That is the shear of haitzah when it comes to samanim which are already soaked. Whereas ve'ilu b'samanim she'enan shruyin, but if you have these chunks of dye, of ink and dye, which is not yet soaked. Now, and we learn later on, klipe egoizim, klipe rimonim, stis, upua, and these are various types of dye and so on. The din is, kedei litzbaya behen beged katan lepisvacha. So it's the amount which you would use to color a small little beged, which goes in the front of the svacha. Remember, we said the svacha was this kind of net, which a woman would wear over her hair. And there was, I guess, some little bit of colored cloth which was sticking out of it. And that is the shear which you need for the dyes which have not yet been soaked. And that shear is a bigger shear. It's a bigger shear. I mean, that's what Rashi says in the first white line, by Pi Svacha, Rashi says, Nesunim beged b'emtzi, so it goes in the middle of this Svacha, V'hai shiura nafish. And this shear is a larger amount. So what's the kasha? You, Rav, are telling me that whether or not a person takes out oirois, which have already gone through the ibud process, or whether or not you take out oirois, which not only have they not gone through the ibud, but you're not even intending to be ma'abedem, it's still the same shear. But one second, I mean, we see there's clearly a difference in haitzah between the finished product, which is muchan mezuman, on something which is not yet the finished product. So surely there is a difference, and in which case we should say the same thing over here. Says the Gemara, no, it's my law. we said pshat over there when we were speaking about the tseva case with the samamanim or itmar Allah, Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabba Baravua, Levi She'ein Adam Tereach, Lishrei Samanim, Litzvah Behen Dugma Le'ira. Meaning, the only reason why we make this distinction and we say that if it's dry, unsoaked samanim, you need a larger amount. The reason why you need a larger amount is because a person is not going to go through the bother of soaking these chunks of dye just to extract a very small amount with which you could go and paint and color a couple of swatches for the fellow who works in cloth. Meaning it's a whole asik to go and to soak it and to extract the dye, make it into a dye and so on. It's a tahalich, it's a procedure, it's a process, it's an asik. So if I'm really going to do it, I'm going to do it in bulk. You know, it's like, I don't know, if someone wants to bake challah. So usually, you'll bake challah, you'll bake three challahs, four challahs, you'll make a whole batch. But to go out and start to take out the flour and then the water and the ingredients and preheat the oven and do a whole geschäft just for a tiny amount, you don't do things for a small amount. So once you have the finished product, you have the finished product. But to do it, melachat chila, you only do it for a larger amount. And that is the chilek. Rashi says in the top line, Shein adam tereach v'imbol lishreisa shera kidei pisvacha, then your shera, a larger amount, aval, or tereach adam la'abed kidei kamiya. When it comes to our shayla, back to defend and be miyashiv Rav Nachman, when it comes to R, a person would be willing to be tereach even a small amount of R, kidei kamiya. So the shear of a kidei kamiya's worth, a person would do. And therefore, the reason why Ayir of Nachman said leishna is because there is a chashivas in the shear of a kidei kamiya. So even though the intention is not necessarily to be ma'abedit, nevertheless, there still is intrinsic chashivas for a small amount. The person might change their mind, and they might end up being ma'abedit, or they might end up using it for a kamiya, and hence it's the same amount. Fine. That was the first kasha, which Rava asked. Frek the Rava nachakasha varei zireni gina. What about garden seeds? I'll show you again a distinction between a final, a finished product, and an unfinished product. And again, he's trying to prove that surely there should be a difference between or which is ma'ubad and or which is not ma'ubad. So varei zireni gina de nekame de zarenu. Before you've been zire it, what's the shir of itzah? Tnan zireni gina pachas mi kigregeris. So what is the shir? It's a little bit less than a gregeris. Avidi b'mesera oimer, hamisha, it's five seeds. The ilu basa de zarenu. So once you've already sowed these seeds, Tanan zeval v'chaladak, if it is zeval or it's fine sand, kedei lezabu by kelach shel kruv, divrei begiva, chachamim kedei lezabu krisha. So you see, it's the amount of fertilizer which is necessary to be mezabu one single stalk, meaning once it's already grown. So you see, seeds which have already been grown and they've already been planted, there is a chashivas in them that even the amount of zevel needed to be mezabel, one single of those seeds which has already taken root, already there's a certain amount, there's a certain chashivas. So you see, that once it's already been nizra in the ground, it's a much smaller shear than before it's been nizra in the ground. And if so, we should say the same thing when it comes to R. We should say that R, which is already mu'ubud, it's more chashiv, and therefore that's when there's a smaller shear. Mashenkin, if it's not yet mu'ubud, it should be a larger shear. So why do you, Rav Nachman, insist on saying, leishna? Says the Gemara, a similar type of answer, ha'itmar Allah, amr papa, ha, dizriya, ha'dalizriya, in chanami. Meaning, the Mishnah which speaks about being mezabel, the hutzah of zevel is referring to if you're taking it out for something which has already been nizra, it's already taken root, and therefore there's a chashivas because you already have one. Whereas ha the loizria, the Mishnah which speaks about where you need to have either a little bit less than a gregarious or five, is referring to when it's not yet nizra. Again, the same svara. A person's not going to take out one single seed to be zareah. Why? Because it is a tircha. Meaning when you sow seeds, you have to take out various kalim and you have to dig a little bit in the ground first, and you put the seed in, and then you have to cover it over, and then you have to water it, and so on. So if you're already going to go and do that whole procedure, you're going to do it for several seeds, not for one single seed. Masha'enkein, we're going back to the same chilek when it comes to R. A person would be willing to be tereach, to be ma'abed, even a smaller amount of R, the amount of R which is needed to make a kameah. So again, even though the case is that we're discussing R, which is not necessarily oimed le'ibud, nevertheless, you never know, a person might change his mind. And therefore, Rav Nachman maintains, Leishna, it's always going to be the same shear. It's the shear needed to make a kameah. Frag the Gemara, Nachamal, Nachakash, which Rava asks, Are tit, when it comes to clay or plaster or cement, Dimekame del ligbele, before you've been megabalit, Tanya moidim chachamim lerib shimon, the maitzi shevchen loishus arabim shishiyuran berevius. We said, Mene Rav Shimon, if you recall, was the Mekel Shita Legabe Hoitzah. We had lots of different shiurim in previous Mishnayos, and Rav Shimon was Mekel in the shiur. And he said, no, the shiurim which are mentioned are for a matznia, a regular person, it's a larger amount, and so on. And Rav Shimon at times said, you need a larger shiur of a revius. The Chachamim disagreed, and they said, even a smaller shiur. But Maidim Chachamim L'Rib Shimon, but Maitzi Shevchim L'Shus Arabim Shishir Abrevius. If it's filthy water, and you're taking out the filthy water into L'Shus Arabim, then we agree that it's a full Shir Abrevius. Valvidimba, we asked Shevchim L'Mai Chazer, what are you possibly going to do with these, with the filthy water? What's it really for? From Rabbi Yirmiya, Legabo Benesatit. This water is really for Gibel of Tit. So we're discussing how much tit do you need. We're talking about the amount of tit which is produced from a revius worth of mayim. So that's probably going to be a significant amount of tit, because you're taking the earth and you're mixing with a revius, so you're obviously going to end up with far more than a revius worth of tit. The ilu basa de gable, that when we speak about fully produced, ready tit, Tanya, we learned tit kedelas is ben pikur. It's the amount needed to make a little hole. When we spoke about these various silversmiths and blacksmiths, and they would put this little this fan, they would fan the fire, and they would stick the opening of the fan, the top of the fan, in a little hole, and the hole would be made of tit. So we said the amount of tit you need to make that little hole, which is just big enough for the entrance of that little fan to go inside. Al koponim, it's a much smaller amount. So once again, Rav is trying to prove that you see that there's clearly a difference between the finished product and before the finished product. And if so, we should say the same thing with regards to R. Once again, we say the exact same answer. So now, Migdal Maron, meaning making tit is a process, and you're going to get your hands dirty, and you may have to mix filthy water with dirt and with the earth and so on. You're not going to do it to produce a very small amount, but once you have it, you have it, and you have a large amount, and once you have this large amount of tit, that even a small amount of that tit now has chashivas legabe hitzah. Once again, when it comes to R, a person would be willing to undergo a certain amount of tircha in order to produce the R and turn it into the wrapping of a kamea. Fine, good. Says the Gemara, Toshma. Another attempt, another kasha. Toshma, the arm of Chia Bar Ami Mishmedo La Shleisha Eresein. There are three Eres. Matza, Chipa, and Diftera. Three different types of Eres. And depending on how much, what you've done to it, will determine whether we call it a matzah, a chippa, or a diftera. So we see, what's pshat in an R which is dubbed matzah? Kimash ma'oi. Dole maliach, udole kamiach, udole ofitz. You haven't really done anything to it. Meaning, stage number one is you would take it and you would salt it. Right? So you would, first you would salt it. Then you would mix, you would take the hide and you would put it in kemach and mayim. And then finally you would put it in afotzim. Afotzim is golnut. And again, these are three stages in the production of the iris. So if you have raw, unprocessed hide, you haven't even done the first stage, that is called matzah. Rashi says, three lines down, matzah kimashmo she'ein la shum tikkun. You haven't done anything to it. Rashi says, kamiach is mashin oisei bekemach umayim. The second stage was after salting it. You would mix it with flour and water. And the third stage of ofitz was mesaknin oisei b'shrika safotzen. You would crush this golnut. I'll go on, and that was the third stage. So that was matzah. It doesn't have any of these things. The kama shiure, what is the shear of hitzas matzah, meaning R, which is called matzah. Tani Rishmor bar Rav Yehuda. K'dei lotzer boi mishkoleis kitana. The amount needed to wrap up a small weight. The kamam rabaya a river, the river, the pumbadisa, a quarter of a pumbadisa. Rashi says riva litra shel pumbadisa, and Rashi explains that the way of the merchants is that they would wrap their weights, the lead weights, and lead is quite soft, so they would wrap up the weights in material so that it wouldn't scrape. And it wouldn't lose the full amount of the weight. So that is the shear of the first type of hide, the matzah hide. What about chippa? That is dimaliach, volekemiach leofitz. It's had one of the three stages done to it. You've salted it. You put melach on it. However, lekemiach voleofitz. The kamash yurek is not R, k'de lasis kamea. And so it's about that type of R that we say it's the shear of k'de lasis kamea. Whereas diftera, the third type, is the maliach, v'kameach. So you've dipped it in, you've soaked it in kamach and mayim, v'loy afitz, but you have yet to put it in the crushed afatzim, in this golnut. The kamashiyurek de lechtavalav esaget, and that is the smallest amount. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says five lines on the bottom, lechtav get v'tnan gufe shall get hare at muteris lachol adam shma yushma va'edim v'azman v'shir zeh katan mikulam. So what is Rava proving once again? That you have three different types of oiris. There's the matzah, there's the chippa, and there's the diftera. And the least process, the least chashiv, is a larger shear. And then the more you've done to it, then the smaller it gets. So what's the kasha? What's the kasha? Says the Gemara. Ketani miyas. K'dei latzer boi mishkoleis kitano. If it is one which we haven't done anything to it, it's not ubad at all, so then you need the shear of kedei lotsa be mishkeles ketan of amra baya riva the riva the pumpadis, and that is a larger amount than what we said in the Mishnah when it speaks about or it's kedei lasis be kameya. So this seems to be a very strong kasha on Rav Nachman, because here we see very clearly a distinction between stage 1 and stage 2. Stage 2 is the case of the Mishnah. It's R, where we say it's the Shir Kedei Lasis Beikamiya. And stage 1 is when it's not yet Me'ubud. You have not tanned it. You haven't processed it at all. And it's a larger Shir, the amount needed to, in order to wrap up a Mishkal. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Ketani Mi'ez Gedei Lotsa Be'Mishkeles Ketana. Om Rabaya Riva De Riva De Pumbadisa. Says the Gemara, awesome, be Bishula. There it is referring to Bishula. Look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom. What does it mean? It is be Bishula. Lach, kemoi shehufshat, kari Bishula. So it's still wet. It's still moist. Lashon Bishul shehu lach, takati lechazi leibod. Avol Yavesh Hazil Ibud, the cave in the Hazil Ibud, Havi Kim Ubad. So again, Rav Nachman is still good. Rav Nachman said, any time you have a hide, and it is Lo'il Ibud, whether or not you've been Ma'abid it already, whether or not you plan on being Ma'abid it, or even if you don't necessarily intend on being Ma'abid it, but there's always the possibility that you might be Ma'abid it, the very fact that you might be ba'abedit is already enough to say it's going to have the exact same shear. Don't ask me a kasha from that braisa, because that braisa is speaking in a case where it's moist and it's wet and it's not roi leibut. Oh, frag the gemara v'atnan ha'begej leishal shleishal lemedris. When it comes to the shear of tumah for a beged, the Mishnah says in kilayim it's 3 by 3 tefachim for medris. So in other words, it's not going to be subject to tumah's medris if a zav sits on it, lies on it, leans on it, and so on, unless it's at least 3 by 3. Hasak is 4 by 4 tefachim. Ha'or hey al hey, it's 5 by 5 tefachim, and a mapetz is vav al vav, some type of a cushion of sorts, is or like a mat, a cushion, is 6 by 6, bein la medris, bein la mace, be it for tumas medris, be it for tumas mace. V'tani Allah, we have a brace on that, habeged v'asak v'ar, kishir l'tuma, kashir l'hoitzah, meaning this is lav dafka, only a shir legabe tuma, that it's a bar, kabbalah's tuma, in the case of R, that we said it's 5 by 5. The same is true legabe hitzah Shabbos, says Rashi, two lines in the bottom, kach shir lehitzah Shabbos, alma she'ein mu'ubed, chamishat vachem bayinen, v'masnisen buki b'mu'ubed. And our Mishnah said, when it is mu'ubed, that's when we said that it has that shear. So here we see that legabe haitzah, we're saying it is a much larger shear. It's a shear of 5 tefachim. Good. Akabonim, it's certainly not like Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman said whether or not it's ma'ubid, whether or not it's not ma'ubid, it's always going to have the same shear of the amount needed to produce a kameya, to wrap a kameya. Says the Gemara, ahu bekrutovla. That Mishnah in Kalim, is speaking about krutovla. Zagdashi, mevashle bereisin umiskashe leishavalav. You take this hide and you boil it in a pot. And you do this for the sake of sitting on it, as is the context over there, because we're speaking about the medras of the zov. It says Rashi, ulachase is to of kais, mites filase se shulchan. So the point is, being that you make it specifically for the purpose of sitting on it, or covering over a chair or a table and whatever and so on, then That's the reason why you need a larger shear, because you need at least a shear of 5 tochim by 5 tochim to make it in, to give it that hashivas of a chair or a table and so on. But a regular, ordinary piece of or, even if it is the amount large enough to wrap a kameo, that you're going to be hired for hitzah. So just to be misakim, Rava asked Rav Nachman 4 questions. Question number one he asked was, as we mentioned in Rashi, just to kind of get into the sugya, what is the shear of hitzah for R? And then he said, it's a Mishnah, k'dilasas kameya. What is the shear of being ma'abed, R? How much R do you need to be ma'abed in order to be over? And that we said, it's the same amount. What about if it's not yet ma'ubad, but you intend on being ma'abed it? It's still the same amount. And finally, he said, what about if you don't have the intention to be ma'abed, what is the shear? And he said, it's still the same amount. It's still the same amount. And then he brought several riots. I just want to read a lashon of the Ritva. So let me just grab the Ritva. Yeah, just to read a lashon of the Ritva. So again, Nachman kept saying, leishna, 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 it's all exactly the same. So frek the Ritva, daf, or gav, the orsha, eine ma'ubod, eine choshev kol kath ka'or ma'ubod, and therefore, we have always seen throughout this parak and the previous parak, that the more choshev, the smaller the shear. A tiny diamond, you're going to be mechuyev on its hitzah. But when it comes to a chunk of dirt, it's going to have to be much larger. So, frag the Ritva, what's kach the pshat davel gav, the or she'ena mu'ubad, eine choshev kol kach, ka'or mu'ubad, shiuram shove, u'mefarish va'azol taimei, the kevon de le'ibud koi, shiurei kim'ubad. So first we say by the case of R, which you have in mind to be ma'abed, so then we say we have a raya from the case of malabin menapitz, davel gav de tzeme she'ene tovui, ene choshev kol kach kemeha tovui, if you have the wool, which is not yet spun into thread, it's not as choshev as once it is spun into thread, it has the same shear. Then the Gemara asked the final question about she'ena me'ubed v'shleila abde v'kamo. So here the Ritva explains, pirish in ene me'ubed v'gam ene oimed la'abde v'kama chayev al hitzah seidam istama, given the isba tarti legreisa, it's got 2 detrimental factors. Number one, it's not yet me'ubed. And number 2, you have no intention to be ma'abed it. And therefore, surely, ba'inan shiura denafish tvei, surely you would need a larger amount. Amalei leishma. And Zaktiv Nachman, no, it's mamish the same thing. Frag the Ritva, v'kashali. My time, amalei leishma. What's taka the pshat? I mean, okay, we're not able to slug up Rav Nachman. And every time Rava tries again and again and again, and Rav Nachman makes a new kimta. The frek the Ritva, what's tak of the pshat? The kashli my time amalei leishna. So he says, right? So he says the yesh lemet. Yeah, he says that according to Rav Nachman understands the loy plug rabbanon. The afkish she'ena emet la'abde yishira kema'abed, the ha'z zimnin, the torech bey la'abde elasis mimenu kisri kameya. I mean, Rav Nachman understands that if we're able to be mashve the shear across the board with a rationale, with a reason, with a logic to say that at times a person might change their mind and they might end up doing it, we would rather keep things across the board and uniform and so on. And therefore, and that's something which Rava had a difficult time, because it is Tarti Lorenza, it's got both of those deficiencies. Nevertheless, he said, Leishna. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Klaf Kedei Lichtav Olav Parashah Ketana. So we said in the Mishnah, that what is the shear of Hitzos Klaf? The amount needed to write Parashah Ketana in Tefillin, which is the Parsha of Shema Yisrael. So, Fragdiga Margash of Raminu Klaf Viduch Sustus Kede Licht of Allah Mezuzah. So let's first just explain, let's just make sure we have our terminology correct. So klaf, you have the klaf and you have the duchsustus. And the klaf is the outer section of the hide, and the duchsustus is the inner section of the hide. It's the section of the hide which is close to the flesh of the animal, whereas the klaf is the section on the outside closer to the skin. Closer to the hair, excuse me. So basically what they would do is, once they would remove the hair, so then you've got skin and you have different layers. The outer layer is the klaf, the inner layer is the duchsustus. Now, it's also important to realize that of these two, so imagine, if you will, that, you know, this is the place where the hair of the animal is, and this is the inner parts of the animal. So this section is going to be the klaf section, and this section is going to be the duchsustus section. However, within these two sections or pieces of skin or layers of skin, you've got the outer part and you've got the inner part. So imagine, let's say you have the klaf and the duchsustus and you cut them apart. So now you've got two layers. So this one we're saying is the klaf, and this one we're saying is the duchsustus. So of the klaf, you have the external side of the klaf, and you have the internal side of the klaf. And of the duchsustus, you have the external side of the duchsustus, and you have the internal. So if we wanted to give it a number, we would say 1, 2, as far as the klaf, 1 being the outermost bit, 2 a little bit more panimi, and then 3 is the outer of the inner, and 4 is the inner of the inner. So we're going to discuss writing different things, be it tefillin or mezuzahs, and we're going to speak about klaf and duchsustus and so on. And so when we speak about writing on klaf, we're speaking about not writing on the outer of the outer, but we're discussing writing on the inner of the outer. In other words, section 2, the inner layer of the outer skin. That's the klaf. And when we speak about writing on duchsustus, we're speaking about writing on the outer layer of the inner layer, as in section 3, that is going to be the place where we're going to be writing. If you look at, just look at the top tesis, it's interesting, tesis says klaf or duchsustus. Tesis says gvil hu ar shalem, it's the complete hide, ella she hishiru as asear, you remove the cyrus. And it's just like over there at Baba Basra, we say that the gvil is just the rocks. You haven't smoothed it off. It's just rock. Shena misukin kari gvil. And then when you divide up the skin into two portions, the outer one, which is by where the hairs were, is called the klaf. Uklapi basar hu duchsustus. Naim Rabbeinu Tam, the Balashin Yavan, kirin lebasar sustus. So flesh is called sustus. The duch, pirish mokim. Gamay duch plaini. Right, which means mokim plaini. Lakach karilei duch sustus kolemar Mokum Basar. Then Tesis goes on to speak about, you know, what is our klaf nowadays like and so on. Salgabana, let's see. So it says the Gemara that klaf kedei lichtav alav parsha katana. The Shiva says klaf, which we're saying is the outer layer, is kedei lichtav alav parsha katana of Shema Yisrael, of the mezuzah, which is of tefillin, excuse me, which is Shema Yisrael. The shear of Haitzas, klaf, and duchsustus is the amount needed to write what you would write on an entire mezuzah. Now, my love, I'm sorry, so what is that referring to? I mean, you write two parshias in a mezuzah. You write Shema and Vahaya. So how can you tell me that the shear of Haitzos klaf is the amount needed to write a parsha katana shibat tefillin, which is only Shema Yisrael? The Brisa says that klaf it's the shear of Kedei Lichtov Alav Mezuzah, which is Shema and Vahaya. Says the Gemara, now, my Mezuzah, what is the price mean when it says Mezuzah? It means Mezuzah Shebet Tefillin. It means the Mezuzah Shebet Tefillin, Zakt Rashi, to Hasan Dalad Igreis, La Dalad Parshas. There's four separate letters, so to speak, for four different Parshas, Veshiur Bachad Minayu, and we're referring to one out of the four, the Hainu Shema, which is the Katana Shebem. So even though it says Mezuzah, it doesn't mean both Shema and Vahaya. It means one of the two, the smallest of the two, which is Shema. Pregdi Gemara Vakari, Lahu, Latfilin, Mezuzah. But does it make sense to say such a doichak that we're referring to Tfilin as Mezuzah in Vatanya? The straps, the ritzuos of the tefillin together with the tefillin are mitame one's yadayim, legabi truma. Whereas bifnei atzman, if you have the ritzuos by themselves, ein mitame ses yadayim, they're not mitame the yadayim. It's only to the extent that they are connected with the baton. Rav Shimon Yudayim Meishim, Rabbi Shimon, Negev ritzua tahar, Achiyiga bektitza, until you actually touch the bias, the baton. Reb Zakkai Mishmoy Omer, Reb Zakkai says in the name of Reb Shimon, Tahor ad sheyiga b'mezuzah atzma, until you refer to, until you touch the actual mezuzah, says Rashi, b'mezuzah heina igrei shein b'sich abatim. So you see that in reference to the parshas and the tefillin, we call it mezuzah. Frag the Gemara Kasha, what's going on to bring to the Bechlal the Brais is shver. Vahamidiktani save a claf. Today licht of la pasha ktana shibet filin shishma yisrael. Michal de reisha bimizuza atzma askinans. Rashi says, Vahamidiktani save daidal el claf. Today licht of. We said claf. Today licht of alav mezuza. So it says in the seifa. Rashi says daidal el claf kedei lichtav michlal de reisha v'kasha reisha aseifa. So we have a sphere within the braisa itself, because originally we said claf v'tichsustus kedei lichtav alav mezuzah, and now we're saying it says in the seifa claf kedei lichtav alav parsha katana shebetfilin shishma yisrael and michlal de reisha. The mezuzah atzma skin, it's referring to a proper shear which is written in a mezuzah, namely Shema and Vahaya im Shamaya. So it's actually referring to both, in which case we have a steer, we have a kasha between the Reisha and the Seifa. So we say no. Achiketani klaf, v'duch sustus, shear and bekama. First, we're kind of saying words of preface. If you have klaf and duch sustus, what is the shear, legavi hitzos, Shabbos? So we say, it depends. Tuchsustus, kdei lichtav alav mezuzah, which is both parshas, i.e. Shema and Vahaya. Klaf, kdei lichtav alav, parsha ketana shebetfilin, which is only the parsha of Shema Yisrael. So that is how we're being mechalik between klaf and tuchsustus. Tuchsustus needs both, and klaf only needs one of the two. It needs the parsha of Shema Yisrael. Good. Now we get into a single...
Why does the type of material make a difference as to what we're writing on it or not? You take a duchtus of one by one, or a klaf one by one. It's the same area you can write whatever part you want to write on.
Right, but with all these things, it usually depends what it's aimed for. So depending on if, you know, what you need to write tefillin on, be it klaf, be it dechsustus, or what you need to write mezuzah on, be it klaf, be it dechsustus, be it gvil, and so on, based on what it is aimed for, will depend how much do you need to be motzi. Because if this is aimed for ksivas mezuzah, and mezuzah has got two parshas on it, then it makes sense to say that you're going to need the amount, legabi hitzah, with which you could write two parshas on, because that's what it's aimed for. Whereas if it's going to be written in four separate igreis, so then even a smaller amount, with the amount which you could write just one parsha on, is going to be sufficient, because that's what it's aimed for. So the different materials are aimed for different things within Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs. Hence the difference. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Dursustus Harei Hu Keklath. Now, the basic structure of this next Gemara is that the Gemara originally presents that Rav said the following statement. We're going to be Mashra, we're going to equate Dursustus to Klath. So, the Gemara originally understood that this is the way that Rav said what he said, that Dursustus is like Klath. Just like ma klaf kisvin alav tefillin, and remember klaf is the outer section of the hide. So just like on klaf you can write tefillin, av duchsustus kisvin alav tefillin. So too duchsustus you can also write tefillin. So again, Rav said a statement that duchsustus is like klaf. Meaning you can write on a duchsustus that which you can write on klaf. Just like you can write tefillin on klaf. So to the extent that duchsustus is like klaf, you can also write tefillin on a duchsustus. That is what the Gemara thinks. At this stage, the Gemara in the Maskana is going to say, no, Rav did equate duchsustus with klaf, but it's going a different way around. But at this stage we think, we're coming to say that just like you can write tefillin on klaf, so too you can write tefillin on duchsustus. So we ask Akasha Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah klaf kedei lichtoiv alav parsha ktana shebetefillin shehi shma Yisrael. So the Mishnah said when it comes to the shear of hitzas klaf, it's the amount needed to write a small parasha in your tefillin, which is the parasha of Shema Yisrael. So again, going back to Babi's Ha'ara, we see over here that the shear of Hitzas Klaf is specific and appropriate to what Klaf is used and Omed for, and you write the tefillin on the Klaf. So it's Meduyik Dafka for a Klaf, as opposed to Duchsustus. Rashi had this Girsa. Some take it out, but I mean let's look at Rashi for a second on those words. Rashi says klaf in duchsustus loy avi bishiura zuta. When it comes to duchsustus, it would not be such a small shear ki hai, but rather like we just said in the previous sugya, elo dechdei lechdei beis parshus de mezuzah. Because what do you write on a duchsustus? A mezuzah. What do you write on the klaf? Tefillin. So the shear of Hitzos klaf is going to be for one parsha because you have four igros in the tefillin, whereas parshas, the shear of duchsustus, is going to have to be for two parshas. Says Rashi, duchsustus hazi letefillin, like Rav is saying, havili lishiri kishir zuta tefillin, it should have the same amount. So again, one more time. Amar Rav duchsustus is a zivi klaf. Ma klav kesun lav tefillin, av duchsustus kesun lav tefillin. You can also write tefillin on the duchsustus, on the inner parchment, on the inner hide. Frag the Gemara 1 second. Tan klav kedei lachtov lav pashuk tana shuvat tefillin shishma Yisrael. It's meduik, it's datka by klav, not by duchsustus. Otherwise, the Mishnah should told us the same by duchsustus. Says the Gemara, nein le mitzvah. That's not going to be a kasha. Rav. Because even Rav agrees that the best thing is to write tefillin on klaf, but Rav is just saying you should know if you write tefillin on duchsustus, it's kosher. Says Rashi. Rashi says lemitzvah. What's pshat? Rashi lemitzvah mitzvah min amuvchar klaf bayinin. And if that's what you need, now this is very interesting. This lashon Rashi and Babi, this also deals with your problem. So let's think about this before we see the Rashi. Rav says, no, really I'm right. And really, just like you can write tefillin on klaf, you can also write tefillin on duchsustus. The Mishnah speaks about the shear of Hitzos klaf. And there it mentions kadei lichtev parsha ketana. So why doesn't it say the same by duchsustus? Because ideally you should be writing your tefillin on klaf, not on duchsustus. Aber lemais, it's kosher to write tefillin on duchsustus. Says Rashi, very interesting. Mitzvah min amuvchar klaf ba'inin. Ideally, you need klaf. Vistoma dechol inesh mitzvah ma'al yisa'ovid. Min astam, a person wants to do something in the best way. Hilkach loy matzna doch sustus letfilin. Havalei ein matzniin kamayu. Meaning, you're right. Zakt Rav, really I'm right, and you can write your tefillin on doch sustus on the inner layer. Is the legabe the sheer haitzah, we should be mishayer with a smaller amount. The amount needed to write one parsha. Why do we say it's the amount needed to write two parshas? There it is, because being that it's a mitzvah and a mubchar to write your tefillin on klaf and not on duchsustas, so a person in general will say, okay, I'm reserving the klaf to write my tefillin on, and I'm going to use the duchsustas to write my mezuzah on, and we're going to be mishayer based on the hanhaga of the adam to do things in the best possible way. But the Olam Rav is saying, Ladino, it's kosher if you write your tefillin on Duchsustus. Toshma, halach lemesh misinai, tefillin ala klaf, umezuzah al Duchsustus. Now, klaf is b'makam basar, Duchsustus b'makam seyar. Now again, this means that even though we said that the klaf is the outer layer and the duchsustus is the inner layer, it means that when you write on the klaf, you write on the b'mokum bosar of the klaf, meaning the inner section of the klaf, which is in the direction of the bosar. And so too, duchsustus, which is in the inner section, but you write it on the outer section, which is b'mokum bosar. Abal Koponim frek the Gemara the Zelba Kasha. It says Halacha l'meish misinai tefillin ala klaf and mezuzah ala duchsustus. And you, Rav, are telling me that duchsustus is like a klaf, and you can write tefillin on duchsustus. It's Halacha l'meish misinai nishta zoi. Says the Gemara l'mitzvah. Nay, that's just l'mitzvah. It's not l'ikuva, which is fascinating. Which means that, we would have a rye, at least at this stage, that when we say there's a halacha mishmitzina that you need to do X, we're able to say that's just a mitzvah ba'alma. That is not ma'akev. That is not ma'akev. That's what the Gemara is suggesting at this stage, that it's only l'mitzvah. Yeah. Good, good, good. So we said, so that we say, no, that is only the mitzvah. Tanya, shina, posel. Abed says that if you're mishane, it's posel. It's mashma sai if you're mishane in the ksiva of the mezuzah. Sai if you're mishane in the ksiva of the tefillin. In which case it's mashma. In which case it's mashma that you're not allowed to write tefillin on duchsustus. So that we say, a mezuzah. Nein, it's going only on mezuzah. If you're mishane, mezuzah, and you write mezuzah on klaf, then it's a problem. But tefillin you can write on duchsustus. Aibotanya shina bazeh ubazeh is pasul. In which case, sai tefillin, sai mezuzah, if you're mishana, it's pasul. So vaita we see the lake of Rav. You, Rav, wanted to say that you're able to write tefillin on duchsustus. You see that that is not true. So we say now, idividi and mezuzah. Really, both of them are going on mezuzah. Both of them are going on mezuzah. Vahada kosvinu aklaf b'makim seyar. And one is referring to, if you wrote it on the klaf, b'makim seyar. Inami aduch sustus b'makim basar. Meaning, it's both going within mezuzah. When it says, shina bozeh ubozeh, it's referring to two different ways of writing the mezuzah, the paskless. Again, hadakasvino aklaf b'makom seyar, which means, remember we said that we're kind of dividing it into four segments. The klaf has got an outer section and an inner section, and the duchsustus has an outer and an inner one. So we said you're supposed to write on the inner of the outer, which we called section two. And then we said when it comes to the duchsustus, you're supposed to write on the outer, which is section three, of this inner one. So we're saying really both of them are going on mezuzah. And again, idividi mezuzah, v'hodu kosvinu aklaf b'makim seyar. One is referring to if you write the mezuzah on klaf, b'makim seyar, on section one, the outer of the outer, that's not good. We said you're supposed to write the mezuzah on the inner section, meaning, right, section two. So that's one case that we would pass so the mezuzah. Again, it'd be the mezuzah, because you're not clear about makom se, inami aduch sustus, or you wrote on duch sustus, b'makom basar, which would mean in section four. In section four, so both of those things are going to, both of those things are going to pass. Hadikas bin Aklav, Makam Ser, Inami, Adoch Sistus, Makam Basar, the Ibo Yisei Mashina, Bezeu, Bezeu, Tanoi. Or else I'll tell you, this is really a Machlekes Tanoi, as to whether or not you can write Tefillin on the Adoch Sistus or not. Ibo Yisei Mashina, Bezeu, 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 Tanoi, the Danya, Shina, Bezeu, Bezeu, Pasal, Rabbi Acha Machshir, Mishum Rabbi Achi Bar Chanina, Va'amila Mishum Rabbi Yaakov Bar Chanina. So we see a machlekes tanoim as to whether or not if you're mishana b'zeh b'zeh, it's possible. In which case we don't have an outright kasha on Rav, because we already see that it is a machlekes tanoim. Says Rashi, Rabbi Acha Machshe, V'Rav Muki Lidrav Achi Atvilin, the Kosvin Alduch Sustis V'Amar Kavasei. In which case, Rav has a Tana de Misayeloi, in which case, you're not able to schlag up Rav. Rav Papa Amar, Rav de Amar, Ketana de Menashe. I'll say Rav has got a different Tana to be Misayel to him. Rav de Amar, Ketana de Menashe. What does he say? Kosva alaniyar, v'ala matlis, psula. If you write it on paper or on matlis, type of beged, it's psula. Ala klaf, ba'ala gvil, ba'al duch sustus, it's kshera. Now, kosvamaya, what are we referring to? Ilema mezuzah, mezuzah klaf, mikasvinen. Are you allowed to write mezuzah on a klaf? Elalav, it must be going on tefillin, and it says you can write tefillin on duch sustus. It's a ride to rav. Well, it's ameir tefillin agvil, mikasvinen. Are you allowed to write tefillin on gvil? That for sure you're not allowed to do. Alakitanya he pesevatera. Alamai, we're gonna have to say that is not a raya because it's referring to sevatera. Let's just see if we can finish. Lame Messiah, let's see if we can bring a siwa to Rav. Kiyotzaboy, tefillin shabala vesevatera shabala. If tefillin or a sevatera, they wear away, the din is ein oisin mehen mezuzah. You're not allowed to turn them into a mezuzah, as in cut them out and make them into a mezuzah. While if he should may read in mikdusha chamor or kedusha kala, because you're not allowed to demote a higher level of kedusha sefer Torah, kedusha tefillin to mezuzah. Now, time of the ein may read, and the only reason why you cannot is because you're not allowed to be married. Ha married in oisin, but lo yitzur, you're allowed to be married. You would be allowed to do that. Now, deksiva amai, what did you write the tefillin on? That lo yitzur, you'd be allowed to be married from its kedusha. We would allow you to use it for mezuzah. So deksiva amai, what did you write the tefillin on? Lav deksiva aduch sustus. In which case, you have a raya to rav. We are able to write tefillin on duch sustus. Says the Gemara loy deksiva ala klaf. You wrote it on klaf. Right? The Gemara mezuzah klaf mikasvina. But now you're going to use this klaf for mezuzah. Are you allowed to use a klaf for mezuzah? Mezuzah klaf mikasvina. Says the Gemara in vatanya kosva ala klaf ala niyar ala matlis psula am rabshim melaza rivi meir hayakus ala klaf emnei mishnemeris. So yes, you are allowed to write a mezuzah on klaf. You are allowed to write mezuzah on klaf. Says the Gemara, now that you've said this, that we're discussing about the kashrus of a mezuzah, and that a mezuzah is able to be written on klaf. So if so, going back to our original statement of Rav, that Rav seemed to equate duch sustus with klaf, and we originally thought to say that just like klaf, you can write tefillin on, so to duch sustus, you can write tefillin on. Now we can just slightly tweak and amend what we said, and we can say the following, Hashnas is lach, ila rav nami, leitema that duch sustus is keklaf, to say that you can write your tefillin on duch sustus, ela ema, but that klaf is like duch sustus. And we can say, ma duch sustus, case when love mezuzah, just like you can write a mezuzah on dofsostos af klaf kaysin la mezuzah. So too, you can also write a klaf. You can write a mezuzah on klaf, just like Rav was going like that sheet of Rabbi Meir, and that will be the mastana of the statement of Rav, again equating klaf with dofsostos, not like we originally thought to kasha writing tefillin on dofsostos, but rather to kasha writing a mezuzah on klaf. Okay, sorry, we went a little bit over time.